This is the Truth Matters podcast. Welcome to another episode in the series entitled A Piece of My Mind, P-E-A-C-E. I'm Cynthia Beaudry. I'm Puerto Rican and I'm originally from the Bronx. So I have been giving people a piece of my mind for as long as I can remember. Just because I became a Christian doesn't mean I stopped. Nope, I still get to give people a piece of my mind. However, it just looks a little bit differently now. Now it is motivated by love, and it is through the peace of God for the building up of others. I'm so grateful to have you here with me today. We're going to continue on our conversation on the topic of prayer. Last week, I shared with you guys about the concept of praying without ceasing and how we can cultivate a lifestyle of being in communion with God. And I shared with you a little bit about what that looks like in my own life. For this episode, let's talk about some of the obstacles that we face when praying. I want to share with you also some practical and creative ideas to incorporate into your life so that you can overcome those obstacles. Some of the things that I've learned or I've gleaned from other Christians. And we don't want Satan to outwit us. We want to be aware of his schemes. We also want to be honest with each other and vulnerable about our weaknesses. And we want tools. We want to be practical. We want to be more equipped to move past these obstacles, these struggles, and into a deeper and fervent prayer life. Now, I am super encouraged because last week I mentioned to you guys, I thought prayer was boring for a long time. I thought it was boring. It was something I struggled with. I was mundane, routine, ritualistic. It was dry. And God had to really grow me. He had to reframe my mind on prayer. But I was so encouraged when God led me to the scriptures and I could empathize and find just camaraderie and understanding in the life of the disciples, because the disciples themselves, they struggled with prayer. Let's read it together in Luke chapter 11. It says, "Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, 'Lord, teach us to pray.' I always thought to myself, if I was a disciple and I was a part of his community, his ministry, and I did life with him daily, and he was in a certain place praying, I probably would have thought to myself, wow, he's really good at this. He's really good at praying. And then I probably would have thought, I'm not. I would have asked the same question. Lord, can you show me how to do that? Teach me to pray. I want to do it like you do. Teach me how to do this." Matthew Henry says, "Lord, teach us to pray is a good prayer." So we can start there. The disciples struggled and they needed help, and Jesus helped them. He modeled it out for them perfectly, and he can do the same for us today. You know, Jesus always prayed. Prayer was a huge part of his ministry. It was a part of his life. He prayed for other people. He prayed with other people. He prayed alone. That's actually one of my favorite verses. Luke 5:16 says, "Jesus withdrew often to lonely places and prayed." And I'm like, oh, that sounds so good. Yes, he prayed alone. He prayed in nature. It says the Bible talks about him going to mountainsides to pray. In Luke 6:12, it says that he spent the night praying to God. So he also prayed for long periods of time. So he had all these different ways that he encountered God through prayer. And his disciples saw him. They spent time with him and they asked him, "Lord, teach us to do it like you do." Luke chapter 11 is just saturated with Jesus teaching his disciples about prayer. And after he's asked, "Teach us to pray," he gives them the Lord's Prayer as a model, as a structure for them to be able to pray through. And then in verse 5, it says, teaching them more about prayer, he uses this story. Let me read this story to you. Suppose you go to a friend's house at midnight and you want to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "A friend of mine has suddenly just arrived. I wasn't expecting this. He's here for a visit and I don't have anything for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked. It's late. My family and I are already in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and he will give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence." Shameless persistence. Let me just unpack that term for you for just a second here. It just expresses a tenacity that knows no restraint. It's persisting in the face of all that seems reasonable. It's a refusal to take, it's a denial. Like, I'm not going to take no for an answer. And this is the story that Jesus uses to teach us of how we ought to be in our prayer life. Isn't that cool? Now, let me ask you this, and I'm not asking you this to bring shame or condemnation. It's actually just a reflective question for you. But when was the last time that you were that persistent when it came to prayer? That you were shameless in how you pursued God, that you refused to take a denial, that you were so tenacious and you did not have any restraint when it came to praying? Isn't that convicting? It is for me. I mean, I don't know when's the last time I prayed like that or over something in specific, like an area of my life that I just was desperate in and kept asking God in. Actually, there is. I am desperate in right now in specific areas. But that's a good question. When have we been shamelessly persistent in our prayer life? You know, or you know what? How about in general? Just when was the last time you were shamelessly persistent at all for anything? I can tell you, I want to share with you this story. Do you want to hear the last time I was shamelessly persistent? It's kind of embarrassing. I'm gonna give it to you anyway. Listen, a couple nights ago, I have a love-hate relationship with social media, Facebook in particular. And in fact, I just kind of rarely go on there. You know, I go once in a while. And it's mostly just to be nosy. If I can be honest, I use Facebook to be nosy. But a couple of nights ago, I went on Facebook and I saw someone just like on the newsfeed that they posted a status and it was kind of vague. I also call Facebook vague book because it was just kind of vague. It said something like, "She's gone to God. I'm grateful for the life she lived here. Please pray for the family. Yada, 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 yada." And I just was like reading that and piqued my interest. I'm like, oh my gosh, who's gone to God? Wait. Hold on. Who died? How did she die? Who is she? What happened? I want to know what happened to this lady. And so I went, the status, you know, I clicked on the lady who posted the status and I wanted to see, did she write anything else? Is there any other posts about this specific incident about the lady who died? And there was nothing. So I went back to the post, the status that she had. And then I had to click. I'm looking at the people who comments. I'm looking at all the commenters, and then I clicked on one of the commenters and I clicked on another profile, and their profile said, pray for Laura. And it says, someone asked them, what happened? Now this is on another profile, right? So someone asked, what happened? And she says, I can't share at this time. And so that made me even more curious, you guys. Now I really need to know, okay, so Laura's gone to God. Nobody's saying what's happening. I need to find out what happened. I'm just so nosy. So then I clicked on another status and another profile and so on. You guys, listen, I was like deep in the recesses of Facebook. It was like half an hour had gone by and I'm like in the family tree, like extended family members, just to find out the details of what happened to Laura. Persistent indeed. Shameless. Yeah, you know it. And I spent half an hour and you know what? That's not for me to be embarrassed or, you know, upset. I don't think the Lord's mad at me for that. I'm just giving you an example. I needed to know. I was so desperate to find out what happened. I was so nosy. Like, I just was like, I refuse to just get off Facebook. I need some closure. I need to know what happened to Laura, right? I was shameless in my persistence to find out the details of this event. And you guys, you know, you seriously should pray for this family, right? But that attitude and that hunger and that yearning and that desperation is how we ought to be in our prayer life. Acts chapter 6 verse 4 says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Do we do this? And why not? So now let's talk about what keeps us. What are the things that keeps us? What are the obstacles that we face that keep us from giving ourselves continually to prayer, shamelessly persistent in prayer, and to the ministry of the word? One of the things that has been a struggle for me is just simply not knowing what to pray. And for me, One of the things that has been helpful is to pray the word of God. I take a scripture and I pray it over myself or for someone else. Let me give an example. There's the quickest one that I can think of. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, I don't know what to pray. And all of a sudden, I just open up the word and I find this verse, be still and know that I am God. And I can pray that over myself. I can say, wow, okay, be still and know that you are God. Be still. You know, I have a really hard time being still. I have so many things on my plate right now. I'm actually overwhelmed. I don't know how to be still, God. Can you help me? Can you still me, still my heart right now in you? And I want to know that you are God. I want to know that you're in control. I want to know that you've got this covered. I want to experience that more from my life. Jesus, help me to be still and know that you are God. See, you take the word and you take the scriptures and you pray it over yourself or you pray it over your loved ones. Another thing, when I don't know what to pray, is just to pray my feelings. Sometimes I have something I feel something in my heart and I just bring that to God. This situation with this person just left me feeling so uncomfortable. Yeah, I feel really uncomfortable. I feel unsettled. I feel like they maybe have bad intentions towards me, Lord. Like, is that true? Is that really what it is? Can you help me discern if it was just me? I just feel uncomfortable and I don't like this feeling, God. I don't want to be unsettled in my heart. I'm home now and I need to decompress over this specific encounter with this person. So God, can you replace these feelings of being unsettled with, peace. Give me your peace. Yeah. And your comfort. So pray your feelings. Sometimes I don't know what I'm feeling. It's kind of hard for me sometimes to take inventory and to be honest about what I'm feeling in the moment. It takes me longer to process. And sometimes I just know facts. And I just know what's before me and what I see. And so sometimes I just pray what I see. So if I'm somewhere and someone's arguing, okay, I may feel anxious about it. You know, I don't have the Bible to open up to read a scripture, but I know what I see, what's in front of me. I see a man and he's yelling at his wife and she looks like she's being really under the weight of his condemnation and his aggression. And so I can see this and I can actually pray this. Lord, I see this couple in front of me and they don't look like they're in a good place. I don't like the way he's talking to her. I don't like his spirit and his aggression towards her. Jesus, I just pray that you would just break through right now, that you would just completely just protect her, cover her, remove him. You know, you see what I'm saying? You pray what you see. So those are the three things. Pray the word, pray your feelings, pray what you see. Those are the three things that have helped me when I don't know what to pray. Another thing that keeps me from praying is distraction. I sit down to pray and all of a sudden my phone goes off. I get texts. I wasn't even popular. No one remembered me. No one cared about me except when I sit down to pray. All of a sudden I get two texts, two Facebook notifications, an Instagram private message. You know what I'm saying? Distraction. And it's just like these things compete for my attention. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, bunny, I'm going to run and chase it. No. My favorite thing is when I sit down and all of a sudden every detail of my life comes to remembrance, or the things that I've forgotten to do, or the things that I need to get done, or the people that I need to email, or et cetera, et cetera. You get the idea. All those things all of a sudden come to my mind and I'm like, wow, I have a photogenic memory. I've been wanting this all my life. I only get it when I sit down to pray. Really? One of my mentors many years ago told me this little simple trick is to pray with a notebook beside you. And every time a distracting thought comes that is competing for your attention, like for instance, oh, buy eggs. Oh, yeah, I gotta buy eggs. And then all of a sudden you're thinking about the grocery and thinking about this. And just write it down instead. Just write on the paper, buy eggs. And you keep praying. You just push through. So you just jot down the things that come to mind that are important that you need to address. But now is not the time. Right now you put up a boundary on your prayer time. You've carved it out. You've set aside time. You're alone. You're secluded. You do everything you can to free yourself from distraction. And in episode 2 of this podcast, I actually talk about how we can seek God daily and the importance of having a specific time and a secluded place to pray. if you have a secluded place in a specific time, when you go to do that and it's a habitual thing and it's a habit, something you do often, you train your brain to know that environment. So every time I sit down in the morning on my patio, my brain shifts gears. It says, oh, we're in our prayer chair. Okay, this is time. This is time for this. It's secluded. It's sectioned. It's boundary. It's specifically for that. So distractions are real. I get distracted. Everyone, all of us. You can be, you could have been Billy Graham and he got distracted in his prayer life. But just take a notebook and jot down the thoughts that come to you while you're praying so you can address them when you're done. Or journal or write out your prayer. That's another way that you can keep focus, is actually keeping a prayer journal. And that's it's actually a really cool way, because then you can look back and read and see how God has answered those prayers. So that has been helpful for me. I want to tell you the story about this woman named Susanna Wesley, specifically in this topic, in this area of being distracted. She had 10 kids. Now imagine trying to find a secluded place for prayer time with 10 kids. Are you kidding me? Like, seriously? That's just ridiculous. She struggled. She struggled to find a secret place to get away with him. But here's what she did. She didn't let the fact that she had 10 kids and she was running her household and all the cares and the things of life keep her from pursuing God in prayer. She told her kids, whenever you see this apron over my head, I'm praying and you don't disturb me. An apron. This is back in the day, old school, right? So I would have a hoodie on today for this story. If I was Susanna Wesley and this was today, I'd be like, kids, there's 10 of you guys. Listen, when you see me with this hoodie, don't talk to me. I'm talking to Jesus. And that's my private time. I just love this story because she pushed through. She didn't have any excuses. She made a way to be shameless in her persistence with God through prayer. And she did that with her apron. Isn't that so sweet? One of the things I've struggled with in my prayer life is when it becomes ritualistic or mundane. It just feels really dry. And I've had to ask the Lord to help me get creative to breathe life back into my time with Him. Some other things I've done is to incorporate worship, singing praise and singing some hymns, or having music playing in the background can help me become inspired and have my heart be engaged in the time. I've gotten new devotional books to get a fresh perspective and give me direction in my prayers. Praying out loud helps. Walking, doing a prayer walk, kneeling, posturing your body so that way you change the position of how you encounter Him and pray with Him. Kneeling is a powerful way that we can show submission, and so humility. Having a prayer list, also writing it out like I mentioned before, or having specific days of the week or specific rooms in your house have different themes for you to pray for. I have a friend who also on Monday prays for his family and on Tuesday prays for his coworkers and et cetera, so that way he looks forward to those days and how he can bless them through prayer. Meditating on a scripture and kind of picturing it in your mind also helps. I like to use my imagination. I think it's a powerful tool in the hands of God. We can also talk about that on another episode, but using my imagination and kind of just picturing it, picturing what Jesus looked like, picturing what the disciples said, and just praying through what I see and using my imagination, that God has really used that powerfully in my life. Praying in nature, like going out to a different environment, can also bring some freshness back into it. But ask God, He can help you get creative, and He can also bring life back into your prayer life when it becomes mundane. One of the things that has impeded in my prayer life was those times when I've had trouble sensing His presence. I'm praying and I'm showing up, and I don't sense His closeness. I'm not feeling as if He's hearing me. And that can be really discouraging. When I begin to search the scriptures, I realize I have to walk by faith and not by feelings. Feelings are absolutely important. God created us to have feelings and we should acknowledge them, but they shouldn't dictate our facts, our reality. And the reality is that James chapter 4 verse 8 says that when I draw near to God, when you know draw near to God, He draws near to us. We don't have to have a pillar of cloud in the daytime or a pillar of fire in the nighttime to give us that experiential, sensational manifestation of His presence. No, he doesn't have to show up that way. And that's been hard for me to learn and realize, but as I've grown and matured in him, I realize I can move forward and pursue God despite what I feel because I have faith in who he is. He is drawing near to us, whether we feel it or not. When we seek him, he says he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He shows up. And it's not the way I expect sometimes, but I trust and have faith and I rest in knowing that he is there and he does hear. Another huge obstacle to prayer is when we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts. The Bible says that if we are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple to God, and all of a sudden we remember that there's an offense between us and someone else, it says, leave your sacrifice there and go and be reconciled to that person. And then you can come and offer your sacrifice to God. It's almost as if we want to be in right standing with God, we have to be in right standing with those in our life. I've heard unforgiveness is like drinking poison and then expecting someone else to die. That's such a profound picture to me. When I start to begin to realize that unforgiveness is harmful, it's like a poison and I'm the one that suffers, then I know why God says, just take care of it. Go walk in forgiveness. You know, we have been forgiven by God, and so we should be known as a forgiving people. And if we want to be healthy and vibrant in our prayer life, then we have to walk in forgiveness. Another obstacle to prayer is when we have unrepentant sin in our life. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Now, the Bible is very clear that our sins separate us from God. It says, your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And that is in Isaiah 59:2. So if sin is obstructing your prayer life, I would just urge you to repent. And if unforgiveness is obstructing your prayer life, I would just urge you to forgive. Now, repentance and forgiveness are both, they're beautiful topics, they're broad topics, and we can dive into these two things deeper at a later time if you're interested. But if these two things are something that you know are obstructing your prayer life, please, for the vibrancy and for the health of your prayer life, I pray that you would work through repentance and forgiveness. We are complicated human beings. We're multidimensional, and there may be so many other obstacles and struggles that impede in our prayer life that keep us from growing in intimacy with Jesus that I don't even talk on and touch on today. But the last thing I want to bring up is something that I've had to personally work through that has been discouraging for me in my prayer life is when I don't receive answers, when I feel like God is not hearing my prayers and God is not moving on what I've petitioned for. You know, and there's so many different reasons why he may not answers. Just as we are complex and multidimensional, so is God. You know, he may be wanting to build character and endurance. We may be asking for wrong motives and selfish gain. There have been times where I've asked God for something and he said no, he's shut it down. And I've taken it as a personal rejection in that moment. But in retrospect, looking back, I'm like, that was God's protection, not rejection, right? And so I'm so grateful for the times he said no. But when you don't receive answers, it can be discouraging. But remember what I said earlier about being shamelessly persistent? You know, we may not get the answers we want on the timetable that we expect, but you and I get to walk in fellowship with the living God, and we get to have friendship with Jesus. And that is so satiating. That's the best validation. That's the best gift. That's the best answer to prayer that I could ever receive in my life. Look, I want God to find faith in my heart. I want God to find faith in your heart. We walk by faith. We don't walk by feelings. We don't walk by what we see or we don't see. We've got to get shamelessly persistent when it comes to praying. We've got to get shamelessly persistent when it comes to pursuing God in prayer and intimacy. We've got to stand on the word and always pray and never give up. Jesus knew we would get discouraged in prayer. He knew that there would be obstacles along the way, and that's why he modeled it for us. He taught us how to pray. He still teaches us how to pray. There's so many scriptures that affirm and encourage. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. It's a reminder. He knows we need it. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Don't be anxious about anything and everything. Pray. Devote yourself to prayer. Pray continually. I urge you to make the requests and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for everyone. 1 Timothy 2:1. I mean, there's just, he knew that this would be an issue for us, and we can find comfort and we can be so encouraged that the Holy Spirit is still helping us today. He's still guiding us. I want you and I to be just like that scripture in Acts 6 verse 4. It says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This is how the apostles were known for in the early church, and this is how they lived their life. I want that for you and I. Let us this week, we start to begin to give ourselves over to prayer, to the devotion of prayer and to the ministry of his word. Remember last week I said I was going to hold your hand? I'm still holding your hand, and the Holy Spirit is holding your hand. We're going to be known by being shamelessly persisting in pursuing God. We're going to be known by being powerful and effective in our prayers. We're going to pray according to his will, and he's going to move mightily, and it's not going to be what we expect, but he says that he does better than what we think, can ask for, or imagine, and we can trust and we can rest in this promise and this hope of his word. I love you guys so much. Thank you for being a part of this this podcast with me today. Send your topics, your requests, your suggestions to me. truthmatterspodcast@gmail.com. I love hearing from you guys. Tell me how I can pray for you. And until next week, I am going to be praying for you, shamelessly persisting for you guys. And I pray that you pray for me too. Bless you and love you. God bless.